It is 8:08. That was your Radio Iowa News brought to you by First Security Bank. Good morning, Kay Winkleman.
Good morning, Crisper. You can certainly tell it is
almost winter.
Oh. With the way the lighting is in the morning.
Did you smell snow this morning?
No, I did not.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It was almost cold enough, though. It's 51 degrees downtown Charles City. I always think snow when I have to put on a jacket.
I
had to use a jacket this morning, so yeah. Anyway, it's Mr. Mayor in this morning, Dean Andrews, Mayor of Charles City. Good morning.
Good morning. I have my jacket on because if it gets below like 65, I think it's winter. So
but you are still braving the shorts.
I am, yes.
Good for you.
So a sweatshirt and shorts. Do you got sandals on too?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do.
Do you really?
It'll take me forever before I finally have to go to anyway,
well,
we have a lot
it's going to be a nice
about.
Day.
Yeah, we do, don't
that's
we?
That's right. Let's go ahead and talk about, let's start off with the tax levy for the ambulance. I know that's coming up to a vote here in the next couple of weeks, maybe?
Well, at the regular November election. It'll be on the general election in November. So, the city has, over the county, over the last couple of years, has had to increasing costs for ambulance service. It used to be like 5 years ago, AMR used to pay us money to house their ambulances for our firefighters to drive their ambulances. But in the last couple of years, the cost to subsidize that service, they just, it's hard to make money as an ambulance service. And that's not just in Charles City, that's in any site, any community our size. Now you get to Des Moines and some of those areas, maybe it's a little easier, but so we have been subsidizing the ambulance service to the tune of about $75,000 to $100,000 a year each for the city and the county, and that just keeps going up. I think next year it's like going to be $112,000 or something like that. And the projection is it's going to go up about 5,000 or 5% each year. And that just comes out of our general fund. And so our general fund is pretty tapped out as far as, you know, paying for just everything that we do in, you know, around the city generally. And we're at the maximum levy and we can't go any statewide, we can't, or state law, we can't go any higher on our tax levy. So if we have to keep paying more and more and more to the ambulance service, number one, we aren't going to be able to afford the quality ambulance service that we have today, or number two, we'll keep the quality ambulance service, but something else will suffer. And so the state has allowed counties to do what they call an emergency medical service tax levy, an EMS tax levy. And what that does is now then the county can levy taxes specifically for EMS services. And that would be countywide. So not only would it include our AMR ambulance service here, but the Green ambulance service that serves Floyd County residents, the Nora Springs ambulance service, the Marble Rock first responders, all of those entities, again, their costs are keep going up and up and up. And so they would be able to use some of this money that's generated with this tax levy. And so the county has decided to put it on the ballot in November. And it'll be a combination. It'll be partly property tax and partly an income tax surcharge. So it'll raise about, I'm thinking up to $560,000 a year. Each year there's a newly created EMS committee that kind of is putting this whole process together, but they will continue to meet, and each year they will evaluate what the ambulance services need for money, and then they will set that tax levy. So the maximum it can be is like $556,000 per year, but that doesn't mean it's going to be that every year. That's just the maximum level that they can levy, and it's going to be for a 10-year period, and then it would be revoted on in 10 years. So I really am encouraging people to get out and vote and support this, because like I say, if we don't do it, either we're going to have a less of an ambulance service or we're going to be suffering in other areas. So I think their projections, again, I'm not exactly sure, but I think their projections will, it would cost the average, if you had $100,000, it's a little different now because they've also added the income tax surcharge, but if you have a $100,000 home, between the income and the property tax, it costs you about $27 a year to do this. So not a major tax levy, but enough that because everybody in the county is going to be paying it, that adds up and allows us to, you know, continue what we have.
Very necessary, obviously, service.
Yeah.
You know, it's needed.
And we have a really good ambulance service right now. You know, our our response times are good. The ambulance personnel get there a lot of times, or most of the time, before the ambulance does. So we have people that are, you know, doing that job and doing a really good job. We want to be able to continue that.
Definitely. Let's go ahead and switch it to housing. What's the latest on the housing situation here in town?
Again, it sounds like a broken record, but every city our size in the state is having problems with housing. And the biggest problem for that is that housing, to build a house, housing costs for construction are so high that by the time you build a house, you can hardly sell it for the cost of what it costs to build it. So you don't have a lot, unless you're in Ankeny or North Liberty, where the houses are just going up, you know, like crazy. They can do it easier there because they're building 20, 30 houses at a time. Where, you know, if we do it in Charles City, if we would do 5 houses at a time, that would be a lot. And so we don't have a lot of developers that are just jumping to come here and build, especially speculative houses that, you know, they'll build a house and hoping somebody will buy it. Because if you put that much money into building a house and just sit on it, that's costing you money. And so we don't have a lot of developers just jumping to come here. The Union House, you probably maybe have already heard, but you know they opened up their apartments here a couple months ago, and they are totally full. They have 33 apartments over there, and every one of those apartments is already rented. So that tells you that there's a demand in Charles City for people looking for places to live, especially quality places to live. The middle school, we're hoping, is going to be worked on here pretty soon. That's going to be another 40 apartments, and I'm sure that once they get going on that, those will, you know, there'll be a demand for those also. But we're also looking at single family homes, and from the starter home to the, you know, high priced home, we need homes in all different price ranges in Charles City. Our other problem is we don't have much space in town to have a subdivision. So then you're looking at, do you do something that's out of the city limits and build a subdivision, but then your costs increase even more because now you've got to get water and sewer to that area. And there was a potential housing subdivision that was going to be out Clark Street, just out of town, that was being talked about, but it was going to be $1 to $1.5 million just to get the sewer and water to the subdivision, and probably another $1 or $1.5 million of infrastructure in the subdivision. So you got $3 million of costs before you even have any homes even started to be built. So it's an expensive undertaking at this point, but the ADC has kind of revitalized a housing committee that they have that's really trying to look at what can we do to provide some, because we have people who come here, whether it's for Zoetis, whether it's a new teacher, whether it's, you know, somebody moving to town and they're going to Waverly and Mason City because they just can't find housing here. It's not that they want to live in those communities, but they just say, well, you know, I move here and there's like 3 houses I can look at, and 2 of them are already sold because somebody else knew about it before I did. So
we are talking with Mayor Dean Andrews here from Charles City. Of course, Park and Rec has been busy recently. They're talking about a new skate park and talking about the pool as well. What's the latest update there?
Well, I think the consultant that the Park and Rec board hired, JEO Consulting, has done some evaluation of the pool since the pool was empty. They had to wait until the swimming season was over and the pool was empty before they could evaluate the pool. And so I think they've done a lot of that evaluation. Now they're kind of processing all that information and will eventually present it to the park board. And the first big question is, how bad is our pool, you know, structurally wise? Is it to the point where it's just unfixable, or is it like, well, yeah, if we put some money into this, we could still salvage our pool that we have today and have it for another 5 or 10 years with some major repair, or major or minor repairs. So that's the first question, and they're kind of in the process of putting that information together to present to the park board. So once they present, say, you know, this pool is salvageable, you put some money in here and you're going to have this for a while, then the park board will look at that and maybe looking at doing some enhancements to the pool, you know, whether it be a splash pad or, you know, different things for kids to do or whatever, and decide if they want to go with a refurbished pool or if it's better to go with a new pool. And then the other question then becomes, if they do a new pool, is Lions Field the best location for that? Because I think part of the problem with the current pool is because it's in kind of a floodplain area, there's a lot of water subsurface to the pool, and that water pressure back and forth on the underground of the pool creates some of the problems with the pool because you have water pushing against that concrete underground. And so, again, that will be part of what's being told to us by the consultants, what their opinions are on that. And then the park board will see what they think is the best idea for the city to move forward. So,
all right. Awesome. Awesome news.
Well, thank you for the updates.
Yeah, one quick one on the skate park. The park board's also looking at a new skate park. Actually, we've been working with a fellow out of Missouri that's with a skate park company down there. And as far as what features we would want to take, and I was just talking to Tyler Mitchell, our park and rec director, the other day, and the fellow from Missouri was up here a couple weeks ago and looked around and looked at different locations for a skate park. The park and rec board has about $10,000 in their budget that they budgeted for this fiscal year, and I'm hoping they're going to have $10,000 next year to put in for a new skate park. The Lions Club just donated $5,000 towards a new skate park. I've heard the Rotary is going to be making a donation also. So it's about a $60,000 process because probably they've looked at some places that are existing that have cement. But when the skateboard fellow was up here the other day, he thought those places would need some work to fix the cracks and different things. So he suggested doing a new pad for a new skate park. But that's about a $25,000 to $30,000 process just to put in the cement without any equipment. Then you have the equipment in there. So we're looking at probably about a $60,000 project. But like I say, the Park and Rec has 10 from last fiscal year, and I think they hopefully will have 10 next year. And if we can get some donations, so if anybody, we have a lot of people who have really been not pushing, but wanting to have a new skate park. There's a lot of skateboard kids around, and I went to the school at different times, and that's a topic that's brought up a lot of times is, can we get a new skate park? Because we had the one out by Lions Field, but it just deteriorated so bad that it had to be taken out because it was a hazard. So we're hoping to get some. So if you're interested in helping to build a skate park, contact myself or Tyler Mitchell, the park and rec director, and we're looking for donations because I think it's something we really want to move forward on.
Definitely. Have you chose a location yet, or is that still in the works too?
They're looking at some different locations. One is the location as you come across the Brantingham Bridge towards town. To the right there, there's a cul-de-sac there where there's a little boat ramp down there where you like put in canoes and stuff and kayaks. And there's some green space between the memorial fountain and where that cul-de-sac is, that is a buyout from flood housing. And so it can't be used for a lot of things, but they're looking at the DNR to see if a skate park would be a possibility. So they really like that location because it's really visible. Kids, I think part of the problem with the Lions Field was it was kind of a secluded area, and sometimes kids would go down there to do skateboarding, but sometimes kids or adults would go down there to do things that weren't so nice. So I think they want to look for a place that's well visible, well lighted, and different things like that. So that's one location that they're possibly looking at.
That'd be a good location for it. It really would. Well, thank you very much, Dean, for joining us this morning.
Yes.
We'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, very good. Thanks.
Closer to winter, Kay Winkleman. It's 8:21. We're going to be talking with the Charles City Public Library next on KCHA.